This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, today we are talking to Chloe Franken of Sophie. So welcome to the podcast. This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, and this is episode number 107. If you want any of the show notes or to get in touch with Chloe, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/107. So Chloe is a Filipina down in Dumaguete, which is one of the sort of secondary or tertiary cities of the Philippines. She is the COO and president of Sophie, which is a outsourcing service provider specifically focused in the startup niche, where they support the back office functions of typically US startups. So it's an interesting space, and one that you'll hear Chloe basically built with her bare hands. In this episode, we talked to Chloe about her background and how she became the president and COO of Sophie. So I enjoyed my chat with Chloe. I'm sure you'll learn a lot too and get a lot of insight into her career and the foundations of outsourcing. So enjoy. Okay, so today I'm joined by Chloe Franken. Hi, Chloe, how are you?
Hi, Derek, I'm good. Hope you're well.
I am, I'm fabulous, thank you. And Chloe is joining us from Dumaguete, which is a town a little bit lower down in the Philippines. And she is the, what are you now, president and
COO of the company.
Okay, COO, CEO?
COO.
COO of Sophie, which is outsourcing made easy for startups. So I'm super interested in talking about Sophie to Chloe. And but first, Chloe, it's fantastic to have you on board. And would you mind giving a bit of background as to your, I suppose, education, your work, and what brings you along this outsourcing journey?
Well, thanks for having me on the show. It's an honor to be able to be on your show. Well, to start off, I think my background has always been in journalism, communication, marketing. I started out as a copy editor right off college. I graduated with a mass communications degree at Silliman University. And the start of my career was basically more into media and publishing and the like. And that's why I started
with that. And that's more traditional media, though? That's kind of newspapers and things like
that? Yeah, sort of, magazine type of media and digital media. So that was what I was really looking at as a career. And I started off as a copy editor at one of the big publishing firms in the Philippines. And after a year of that, I think the corporate world kind of just shocked me coming out of college. The schedule was tough, the workload was tough, and I didn't feel fulfilled when I was a copy editor. And at the same time, I also dabbled in my own little business. I had a cafe that I shared with my partner then, and that failed. That was my first business attempt, and that failed terribly, which kind of scarred me for a bit. And when I decided to end my employment with that publishing company after a year, I decided to go into freelancing online. And at that time, Odesk was just starting out. Now Odesk is Upwork, but working online at home was pretty new in the Philippines then. This was back in...
Yeah, how long ago was this then? This was
2006, I guess.
Okay.
It was in 2006, and not a lot of people were doing home-based jobs at that time. Mm. So I was doing that for a little over a year with a printing company based in Australia. Mm-hmm. So I did that. I was the executive assistant of the owner, and I did a bit of marketing and some writing for that company, and also handled their customer service.
And how did you find this online world of work, you know. I assume you were using sort of the freelancers and Elance and Upwork.
Yeah.
How did
Well,
you stumble across them? You just heard like people were chatting about it?
I think I'm not quite sure where I think it was on Best Jobs. I'm not sure, but I think I saw the ad and applied for the position and I got it. And afterwards, I had that online position, and then I was also dabbling in another freelance writing position. So
Right.
I had a bunch of things going on while I was working at home. Aside from the full-time job, I was writing part-time as well. So that for me was really a good experience because, one, I was able to kind of really look at different areas where I could be good at in terms of marketing, writing, and customer service and all that stuff. So I got a lot of experience from that. Although that experience kind of made me realize that I didn't want to stay at home. I missed being with people. I didn't like the whole fact that I was just at home and in my pajamas.
Was it like stumbling on a little bit of a gold mine, finding this kind of river of online jobs that you can do, and you can name your price, and you can take
Yeah,
jobs or leave jobs?
definitely. It was at that time. It was. Right now, the industry, the online industry, is a little different right now because there are so many people looking for online jobs that it's really more of a company's market, the employer's market, because they can have a pick of their staff online and negotiate the price on their terms.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah,
And
like there's
yeah.
now too many people online looking for jobs, so the price is really dropping, yeah.
The prices have dropped. In my time, you can get about $10 per hour for a writing job. Now, I think it has gone below $5 per hour for something that's, a little more complex. And it's just more of an employer's market right now online because there's just so many former people from big companies wanting to just have work-life balance that, staying at home, being with their family, taking care of their kids is a lot more a lot more alluring for them than to have benefits and stay at a company.
Yeah, it's a flexibility, isn't it? So back in 2007, when you found these freelancer websites, how did the income compare? You know, you were kind of first year graduate as a copy editor, but in a sort of local Filipino whatever publisher. And were you able to earn the same? Were you able to earn more? What was the kind of earning comparison when you went online?
Well, when I went online for that other job that I left the corporate job for, I earned a little bit more. However, you can't really say that you're earning a little bit more because when you're working on an online job, you tend to just kind of have a basic salary, but there's no other benefits.
Right.
Compared to a desk job at an office, you get your salary and you also get your vacation leaves and sick leaves and you get your benefits and you get your HMO. So come to think of it, if you really like add up everything, what I was earning then was sort of similar to what I was earning at that company. So the only difference was my time was a little bit more flexible and the job wasn't as stressful, but more or less my rate at that time was close to what I was earning in that
Right.
office
So it wasn't
prior.
exactly a gold mine, but it was just a different opportunity. And then
Yeah,
you
wasn't.
grew a little tired of that because they can be quite isolating, yeah? And you were a, you know, you're a young lady and you wanted a social environment and probably a kind of common purpose. So what was the next step then?
Well, the next step with that wasn't really, I was just in the middle of thinking whether I wanted to continue online or if I wanted to find another type of job and still be online because I kind of want to also travel and have my flexibility, which is a little hard if you're working for an office. So I was just kind of in a rut basically where there's this local forum, Dumaguete forum. It's called dumagueteinfo.com, where there was a thread there about investments coming in Dumaguete because at that time Dumaguete only had Teledeck and SBI, and not a lot of players in terms of the BPO industry. So the thread was about investments into Magete, and I kind of chimed in that thread and just made a comment and said that, you know, there's a lot of talent in Magete, but there's not a lot of opportunities, and I think it's a great idea for more investors to come in Magete. And somehow that comment caught the attention of one of the companies in the U.S. who was, you know, trying to outsource to the Philippines, and their VP of business development contacted me through that forum and asked more info about Magete and how they can start their office in Magete. And it kind of just went on from there, where we were communicating online and I was giving him info on how to start a business. And he shortly made a visit to Magete. We met and I helped him out with recruitment so that he can see the pool of talent in Magete. And shortly after that, he offered me the job. And I guess the rest is history. 9 years later, I'm here at Sophie.
Wow. So that was the birth of Sophie, and that is spelled S-O-P-H-I. And just briefly give us an outline of what Sophie is.
Well, it's called Sophie now, but the full name of Sophie is Students Only Philippines Incorporated. We're called Students Only because the company that kind of gave birth to Sophie in Magete was a student rewards company based in Boston. Their primary niche was giving discounts to students, particularly in the travel industry. So we were called Students Only, and sorry.
You're right.
We were called Students Only, and sometime in 2012, we separated from that company. We separated from that company, and our other company that was also in student rewards was bought out by a big group discounts company in the U.S. So basically, in 2012, from starting off as a 7-person team just doing verifications for one company, we were left with basically no account to work on. And the owners of the company were pretty much like saying, you know, you have an office, you have a facility in Magete. It would be a waste to kind of give it up just because the primary purpose is now gone and non-existent. You know, basically the CEO said, you know, you have an office, try to make it work for a year, try to break even.
Right. So and you were given the challenge to...
Yeah. Okay. I was given the challenge to make it work, find a client, because we've never had an external client before.
And were they still backing it? Were they still funding it? Or have
yes,
they actually
they
sold out of the company?
Part of the people from the original company, one person was kind of assuming the company at Sophie. So he was involved, so he funded us for a while because obviously we didn't have
a
client anymore, and we needed to pay the bills, and we needed to give their salary, the people's salary. So
for
a while,
so we see this very commonly in outsourcing, yes, that a lot of entrepreneurs come to the Philippines, and then they in some form or another, and this is a slightly different variation to the story, but people get so enamored and see such opportunity in outsourcing that they inevitably move over to outsourcing. But very commonly people come over here to scratch their own itch and to create an infrastructure and a back end that supports their own operations, and then they expand out and help other people. So your sort of parent business was actually sold, leaving
yes,
the back end without a client per se.
Yes.
And then so you were thrown down the gauntlet and given the challenge of having to find clients to match up with your staffing, yeah.
Precisely, that's what happened, and I think my experience online was a big help because I kind of was exposed to looking for a job online and finding the resources as to where I'm going to find that job. So when we had this predicament I actually used my own online profile
Right.
to find a job, and when I would get a job from the company, I would tell them that, hey, I run a call center and we can do this for you. And
wow, cool.
we kind of did that for some time.
Your bosses were lucky to have you, huh? So and then actually, how, yeah. So you were like tapping into forums and chat rooms and things like that?
No, I basically went on Upwork and because I had a profile there, and I've built that profile, not specifically in customer service, but more in writing and virtual assistants and all that stuff. So I was looking for opportunities through my profile, applying as an individual, as myself. And then later on, when I would get an interview, I'd tell them that I manage a sender and we can do this for you.
Cunning approach.
Yeah, and it worked. So it worked.
And what year was that then that you were given the free rein to find customers?
Sorry?
What year was that you were finding these customers?
That was in 2012. Okay. That was in 2012, yeah.
And then so 5 years later, what's Sophie looking like now?
Well, to give you an idea, we started as a 7-person team, and we've always been hovering under 20 people, and now we have 200 agents in 5 years, and our move to Cebu might bring us up to 500 with one of the startups that we worked with that's now bought out by a bigger conglomerate, and they're basically tying up with big travel companies, and now they're looking for a lot of travel agents to do their customer service. So we could potentially hit 500 by next year.
So happy days. And that's that's huge, huh?
It's huge. There's a lot of growing pains involved with it, but it's a good problem to have, I guess.
How do you – so you're kind of fairly intimately involved in all of the outsourcing industry. How have you seen it evolve in the last 9 years that you've been in it?
Well, just in terms of the people who are slowly getting into it, before, you know, outsourcing was more of healthcare, telecom companies, banking. And now, especially with our niche, we work with startups, and our outsourcing has been, I think, a really good industry for the startup industry, because the pricing is definitely a plus for a company that's, you know, relying on funding. Being able to cut costs on people who can do customer service and back-end support, that helps a lot when you're a young company. And I just see a trend that's moving towards smaller businesses who are trying outsourcing rather than the bigger companies who have the funding and who have the resources to outsource in the Philippines. I just see a trend moving towards empowering smaller companies to try outsourcing.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're seeing at Outsource Accelerator. And, you know, we're involved in some of the bigger trade associations, outsourcing associations, and they're seeing generally a slowdown in outsourcing or the growth of outsourcing. And because they're mainly dealing with the big multinationals,
yes,
and all those big boys that have been outsourcing for 20 years. And I think almost all of them have done it. And but this huge growth in the SME market, in the small market, and even you are focusing on the startup market. And,
yes,
you know, there's we've actually done the figures, and there's about 35 million SMEs across the high-cost English-speaking world. And it still amazes me how few of them are actually aware of the potential of outsourcing.
It's, right. Yeah.
Incredible.
And it's nice because especially the startup community in the US, when you work with one, they know so many other entrepreneurs who are looking for solutions. And it's nice to get referrals because of people who are now advocates of it, because they see the potential. Most of the time, especially when I talk with more traditional companies, they're a little bit hesitant to get into outsourcing, for reasons such as security and the quality of work. However, younger companies are more open to it, and once they get, you know, feedback from a colleague or a friend that, hey, we know this solution, we know this company in the Philippines who primarily works with startups, and you should try them. And I think it's just been very helpful. Doing good work for these startups really multiplies and translates to more clients, just because they're just starting to realize that, yeah, there's outsourcing and it's really helpful for their business.
Wow. So that's an incredible kind of niche that you've carved out. And was that organic that this kind of happened? And, you know, did you guys steer it towards this niche, or did it kind of almost evolve?
Well, it's basically, it's kind of just evolved naturally because, like I said, I was on Upwork, and most of the people that I encountered on Upwork were smaller companies, because of course the bigger companies won't want to just have a freelancer, right? So most of the companies that I was exposed to were the smaller ones, the startups. So it just kind of evolved that way, that I saw that, hey, I think this is a market that is rarely tapped in terms of the call center industry, and I think there's space there for us to kind of position ourselves as the outsourcing center for that. It just worked. And even for us, in terms of culture and just the environment in the office, we want to have that fresh startup feel. And as an experience for employees working for Sofi, we want them to come to work and have the same energy, you know, as how they feel about doing something that they love, and working with these dynamic startups, it adds to that vibe, that young, energetic vibe in the office, versus, you know, if they come to work and when they put on their headset, someone's yelling at them for their mobile phone, it kind of ruins the environment in the office, you know, and the vibe, and it just kind of works. We want, our office is pretty laid back, especially when we have a lot of agents who've come from bigger call centers, and when they start working for Sofi, they're like, it's really different. The vibe is different. It's more relaxed. It's more spontaneous.
It's just like Silicon Valley.
Yeah, and it's less stressful, and that's why it was a natural evolution for us to kind of gear towards a specific market, because it works. It works for us when we recruit people, and it works for the clients who are attracted to Sofi, because we share the same culture and we share the same environment as them.
Incredible. Thank you. It's an amazing journey. And Chloe, I want to get you back so we can actually deep dive into exactly what Sofi does and the service proposition you have for startups. So I look forward to you joining us again. And thank you so much for your time. In the meantime, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Well, they can simply go to our website. If they're a client who wants to try out Sofi, they can go to the website. There's a link there that says start your free trial, and they just click on that link and send us their information, and I'll get back to them right away.
Fantastic. Amazing. And of course, all of those details will be in the show notes. Thank you, Chloe.
Thank you so much, Derek.
Okay, that was Chloe Franken of Sofi. If you want to get in touch with Chloe or know any more or get the show notes, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/107. And of course, if you want to ask us anything, then drop us an email at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.